Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, can I add my welcome to that of Suzanne's? Lovely to be with you. My name is Al, and I'm one of the associate ministers here at St. Andrew's Church. And yes, as Suzanne said, well done for making it today, and well done for making it if you were here 3 days in a row. Now we're going to be in Psalm 1 this morning, and we're going to need God's help as we look at these verses, which perhaps are quite familiar to us, but which are full of deep truths. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for Christmas and a chance to celebrate and to be with loved ones. And thank you for your word, which directs our steps in 2020-21 and in this year to come. And Lord, we pray that as we look at these words, that we'd be ready to listen and to walk your way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of my favorite websites is WikiHow, because it can tell you how to do almost anything you can think of. If you need to update your CV, just go to WikiHow. There will be step-by-step instructions. If you're thinking about investing in the stock market, just go to WikiHow, and there'll be a few tips for you there. If you'd like to grow exotic orchids, and I'm not sure exactly what to do, just go to WikiHow, and you'll find pictures and how-to. Lots and lots of very helpful articles, including a few articles which are slightly more obscure, like how to sneak your cat into work. I'm not sure. Maybe you feel like you need a bit more moral support in the office, and it'd be good to have the cat there. Or if you were wondering how to calculate the number pi by throwing frozen sausages, well, that's in there too, just in case you were wondering. Well, there's so many different things on WikiHow, and I guess we've all got our go-to places for advice. Maybe it's on the internet, but I guess especially as well will be people who we know. So that if we're making a big decision, we're buying something, or we're taking a new job, or we're making a move, or we're writing an exam, or we're trying to get our kids into a certain school, we'll do our research and listen to what people are saying and process that information and then make the decision. The voices of the people around us, that inevitably sets our trajectory, our path to a certain extent. Well, we're starting a little mini-series this week and next week, which we're calling Pilgrim Prayers, to remind us that as Christians, we're pilgrims in this life, and that the voices that we listen to do affect the direction that we take, and so we have to listen to God's voice and to walk his way. Well, it's possible for us to overlooked to a certain extent the effect of the other voices in the world around us. Sometimes we can be, well, perhaps a little blasé about how much those voices, which are sometimes negative voices or unhelpful voices, affect us. And sometimes, if we're honest, we don't give God's voice as much time as we know we should. We say things to ourselves like, I should read my Bible more, and we don't always get round to doing it. But when we fail to listen to God's voice, well, so often we can be blown off course a little bit by the voices around us, and so we miss out on the wonderful blessing that comes from listening to what the Lord has to say to us. And we fail to remember that the people in the world around us are so often are living a life that's heading ultimately in a very different direction. And that's what we see when we come to Psalm 1. And we're going to split it up into four sections as we look at it this morning. We see the wrong voices, the essential voice, the difference that listening makes now, and the difference that listening makes in the future. So firstly, the wrong voices. Look with me at verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. The thing to spot here is the connection that the psalmist makes between the people who we listen to, or whose company we keep, and the way in which we go. That is why it says, to live the blessed life, we need to walk God's way, and we need to not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. There's a sense of association here. Listening to these people and taking on their advice is standing in contrast to listening to God and taking on his advice. There's association, and there's also a progression here. Walking a certain way, and then standing, and then sitting, becoming more and more comfortable with these people and their decisions and their way of life and all of their advice. You see, ultimately, the Bible tells us that there's two ways to live in life. Either we live God's way and listen to him, or we live the way of the world and we listen to the world around us. And Christians are people who need to listen to the Lord and to walk his way. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that we have to shut ourselves off from society around us, that we should isolate or withdraw. That's just not a reality. That's just not a possibility. We exist in this world, so we have to engage in this world. We've got to listen to people around us to understand, to do daily functions, but also to reach out with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and to present it in a way which they understand. And I think that's quite well, this concept quite well captured and explained by John Stott in what he describes as double listening. He says that double listening is the faculty of listening to two voices at the same time, the voice of God through Scripture and the voices of men and women around us. These voices will often contradict one another, but our purpose in listening to them both is to discover how they relate to each other. Double listening is indispensable to Christian discipleship and Christian mission. So we've got to listen to the people around us to a certain extent. And we know that that is what the Lord Jesus did. He was focused on Scripture, but he also spent time with all kinds of people. We've got to do the same. We've got to engage with this world. So Psalm 1 is not teaching disengagement and isolation, but it is telling us to take due care to the company that we keep and the voices that we listen to, because those voices inevitably can and do affect us. And we mustn't be naive about that. And sometimes, perhaps we can underestimate the effect that the other voices have on us. You see, we know that saying that a bad apple spoils the bunch because it passes on the bad stuff. And we're happy to say to children, well, be careful of the friends that you make. But sometimes we don't apply those principles as thoroughly to ourselves and the people around us, our friends and our colleagues and our family members. They might be very nice people and they might seem extremely competent and knowledgeable, but if they've not bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, then on the inside, they'll be operating with a completely different set of core values, which result in different habits as well. And so if we listen to their advice without filtering it through a Christian worldview, then some of those habits and some of those values inevitably are going to rub off on us. Well, that goes for other people's advice, and that goes for culture and the media as well. It's easy for us to say, oh, I was just relaxing watching that film. I wasn't really paying any attention to it. Or I'm just watching this Netflix series to know what everyone is talking about. Or I was just listening to that music because I like the sound of it. I'm not really paying any attention to the lyrics, when actually some of those things do affect us as we engage with this world around us, which we've got to do. We've got to engage with people, got to engage with culture. We need to be filtering through a Christian worldview. Some things need to be filtered, and other things perhaps need to be avoided entirely because it's unhelpful for us. These are the wrong voices. We see that in verse 1. And in verse 2, we see the essential voice which we've got to really listen to, which is God's voice. Verse 2, the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That is the person who's receiving God's blessing. It's talking here about a believer who's listening to God's word. Now, God's word here is described as the law. And that's because in the Old Testament, for the Old Testament Jews, the law was the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the Pentateuch, written by Moses. And at the time that the Psalms were written, well, most of the rest of the Bible hadn't been written. Much of the Old Testament hadn't even taken place yet. And so when focusing on Scripture, the focus was very much on the Torah, the Pentateuch, those opening books. And so that is where the psalmist went to listen to God's word. But the principle applies more widely. If we want to listen to God and his word, where do we go? We go to Scripture. We go to the Bible. Now that might sound really obvious to say in church, we listen to God by going to the Bible. But sometimes people think, well, if I want to hear God's voice, then I need to go into nature to connect with what he has to say. Or maybe I reflect inwardly to hear God's voice in my heart. And there's something in both of those. We know the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, that simply by looking at the wonder of creation that we can work out certain things about God. We also know that we have a God-given holy, that we have a God-given Holy Spirit and a God-given conscience, and those can prompt us in the right direction. But that's simply not the same as receiving a direct instruction from God in black and white in the Bible. Sometimes people say to me, oh, God told me to do X, or God told me to do Y, almost as though they'd received a direct instruction, a direct message. And sometimes the Lord does speak to us in that way. It's possible for him still to send an angel to people. That still happens. But usually people don't mean that when they say, oh, God told me to do X. They don't mean the angel Gabriel appeared to me a couple of days ago. No, instead, usually they mean something like, well, I feel like the Lord is leading me in a certain direction to make a certain decision. And often that's based on a combination of things like prayer and talking to other Christians and reflecting on the circumstances. And that's all very well and good, but it's not the same as seeing it in black and white in Holy Scripture, God's direct word to us. So I think it's more helpful for us simply to say, I feel like the Lord is leading or guiding me or us to do X or to do Y. And to leave saying God told me to do X or Y to the Bible. That gives the priority to Holy Scripture. And Holy Scripture, if we want to live the blessed life, that's what we've got to keep on coming back to, like we see in Psalm 1. In some ways, it's a little bit like checking our GPS on our phone, checking the map. These days, when we're traveling a route that we're less familiar with, if it's in a new city, some of us are still doing a little bit of travel, or a part of Hong Kong where perhaps we're a bit less familiar with it. Well, chances are what we'll do, we'll check the map before we go. And then as we travel, we'll be getting our phone out all the time, so that if we reach a junction where we're not quite sure, well, we have a look at the map. And it's almost as though we're always reflecting on the map. We're meditating on the map. We're trying to carry the map in our head so that we don't get lost, because it's kind of annoying to get lost. Well, so too for the Christian. The Christian is someone who's always coming back to God's word to check where we're going. So for the Christian who comes to church on Sunday to hear God's word and who doesn't read the Bible the rest of the week, well, that's like the person who checks the map and then puts their phone away and then just doesn't check the map anymore. Chances are they might just get a little bit lost. We need to keep on coming back to God's word. You know, sometimes people say to me, I don't have time to read the Bible. Life is too frantic. Life is too busy. I think that's so sad because, well, we do have time to read God's word, and it's a serious mistake not to. It's like a person saying, oh, I don't have time to check the map. You do have time to check the map, and not checking the map is a serious mistake. You see, that's why here at St. Andrew's, we try to encourage everyone to spend some time in God's word each and every single day. That's like checking in, checking the map. Of course, it's much more than that. It's a life-altering encounter with the God of the universe, who's adopted us as his beloved children. Well, what a privilege that is, that day by day we can draw near to him. And I think we can have a meaningful time with the Lord in as little as 5 or 6 minutes a day as we open the Bible and read what it says there and try to understand and pray in response, asking that God will help us to put all of those things into practice and maybe praying for a few other people and the things that are coming up in the day. I think that that can take as little as 5 or 6 minutes. And we know that when we're out of touch with someone who we love and care very much about, well, even just a short WhatsApp message or a short phone call, well, that can be meaningful. So too, just a few minutes with the Lord each day can be a meaningful encounter. And so often as people make that a regular rhythm, they end up wanting just naturally to spend a little bit more time. So I think it's very sad when people say, oh, I don't have time to do this. No, we do have time to do these things. When a person says, I don't have time, it's like saying, I don't have time to check the map. We miss out on a wonderful, wonderful blessing that we receive. And that's what we see in our third point, the difference that listening makes now. Look with me at verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The person who meets with the Lord regularly and meditates on his word is described here like a green tree, a lush green tree. Now here in Hong Kong, pretty much all of the trees are lush and green. If you go outside, they're all vibrant, and that's because there's so much water. But it's not like that in the Middle East where this was written. A lot of the trees there are kind of brown, scraggly, drab. And so it's very different if a tree is planted by a stream or a river or by a lake. That tree is going to look completely different. It's going to be vibrant, lush, green. And that's the image that we've got here. The Christian who's meeting frequently with the Lord in his word is like a lush green tree planted by streams of water. In the Bible, water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And the Word and the Spirit goes together. And it's as we drink in, suck in the goodness of God's Word, that His Spirit works in us in order to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control. All of those things will be growing in us. It may not happen overnight. It might be slow progress, but the transformation will be there. Now, that's, I think, what it means when it says, whatever they do prospers. Sometimes I look at Psalm 1 with people and they say, is that saying that we can get rich for being a Christian? Whatever they do prosper. The prosperity gospel is false teaching. This isn't saying that we can get rich. Instead, this is saying that if we are meeting with Jesus day by day, then whatever life throws at us, come good, come bad, then we're going to keep on bearing fruit, that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Whatever we do, we'll prosper. We'll be becoming more like Jesus day by day, no matter what happens. It's so important for us to keep on coming back to his word, drinking it in. Well, let me give an example. Here in Hong Kong, so many people are anxious and stressed out because life is like being on a conveyor belt. It's like being on a treadmill where people are running, running, running. Now, I know every society has got its treadmill, and we can't really fully escape from the treadmill of life, but I think it is particularly pronounced here in Hong Kong. People are just running, 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 busy, busy, busy. The whole of life is like a treadmill, from kindergarten into school, into university, into the workplace. And people are running after very clear things. Got to get the education, got to get the career, got to get success, got to get money to be able to buy the things that I want. Running, running, running after those things. Got to get those things so that we can give them to our children. Our children have got to get the education, they've got to get the career, they've got to get the success, they've got to get the money so that they can get the things that they want. And that's the narrative of the society around us. That's what the voices are talking about. How can I run faster? That's the goals which are being set for 2022. So often they're treadmill goals. How can I get in shape? How can I meet the right person? How can I earn more money? How can I get the promotion? How can I do the next thing? Now, we need to do some of those things. But as we get sucked into the narrative, so often it's easy for us to become anxious and worried. Well, that's what the people around us are talking about. But what does Jesus have to say about these things as we come to his word? Well, listen to what he says in Matthew 6. He says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, Jesus knows all about the treadmill of life. And God knows that we need certain things just to get by. And he loves us, and he's going to look after us. And it's as we come to his word that we remember these truths. And we're able to get sucked into the anxious narrative of the people around us. The people around us are worried about the treadmill of 2022. And they're also worried about the other big looming questions, like what's going to happen politically in 2022. People are anxious about these things. Or what's going to happen with the virus in 2022? People are anxious about that. And again, it is possible for us to become very anxious about that. But again, what does God's word say? Well, the Lord says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The people are anxious about these things, but the Bible says to us that we instead should pray with thanksgiving. It's as we pray these big truths and thank the Lord that Jesus is coming back, that this world is not the end, that God loves us and that he cares for us, that our sins are washed away. It's as those truths sink deep into our hearts and minds that we're able to have the perspective that even as people around us are getting anxious, we're able to be full of peace and joy, bearing that fruit of the Spirit in each and every situation, prospering no matter what is going on around us. But to do that and to experience that, we've got to keep on coming back to God's word, drinking it in day by day. Listening makes all of the difference now. Listening makes a difference now. And listening makes a difference in the future because it sets our trajectory. So look with me at the final three verses of the psalm. "Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." It's talking about a day of final judgment, that day when Jesus returns. And the image which is given to us here is the image of harvesting, that patient, long-waiting farmer waits and waits months and months and months until his crop is ripe. And when all the wheat is ripe, he harvests it and brings it in. And then there's threshing in order to separate the husk and the wheat. A husk is the bit around the wheat. And then there's winnowing, which is throwing it up in the air. And the husk, which is lighter, is blown away. That's what it's describing there. A day of final separation. That day of final separation will come when Jesus returns. And the thing that will make all of the difference then is whether we've listened to his message. Well, God's good news to us is the good news of the gospel. That's the message that we need to keep on responding to. That this world is desperately broken. That we as individuals are guilty. That there's nothing that we can do individually to make ourselves right with God, but rather that in his great love, he sent his son Jesus, we were celebrating that yesterday, to come to earth and to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins so that we might be reunited with him. Well, friend, it could be that you've come in to St. Andrew's this morning and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian. Maybe you're exploring these things. Well, this is God's message to you. This is the gospel message you need to respond to. And can I encourage you to perhaps ask a question of someone you've come with, or perhaps sign up to that Hope Explored course, which we saw advertised earlier. This is a message that we need to listen to. And this is a message that we need to keep on remembering as Christians as well. This final trajectory of where everything is going in this world. See, it's so easy for us to forget that this world is passing away, that the things that people are running after are passing away, that Jesus is coming back, that eternity is the proverbial blink in the eye in comparison, and that one day Jesus will call us to account for the ways in which we spent our time and our energy and our money. That's all coming in the future. But it's so easy for us to forget about all of these things. And so we need to keep on coming back to God's word. Otherwise, we're going to be blown off course. And otherwise, we're going to fail to produce that fruit of the Spirit. Well, in some ways, it's a little bit like taking our daily medicine as we read the Bible. You can imagine that if someone had a chronic illness, their doctor might well prescribe to them medicine that they have to take each and every single day. And if they said to their doctor, "Well, doctor, I don't feel like taking my medicine today, or I'm a bit busy to take my medicine today, or I'm a bit tired, I'm not really in the right place emotionally, I feel a bit disconnected from my medicine," the doctor would say, "That's a load of rubbish, just take your medicine." Well, Christians, we are sick individuals, spiritually sick. We might have given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, but our hearts are sick. And we need the medicine of his loving, tender words to us each and every day. And so as we roll into 2022, I'd love to encourage us all to think about our daily Bible reading and prayer. This is the key. This is the foundational spiritual discipline, daily Bible reading and prayer. And there'll be ways in which we can all improve this for 2022. Well, maybe for some of us, if you're absolutely honest, this is kind of absent from your life. You are a believer, you do love the Lord, but you just don't get round to reading the Bible on your own. Well, if that's the case, you're probably feeling some of the effects of that. You probably are sucked into the narratives of this world to an extent. You are probably anxious about some things to an extent. And if that's the case, then can I humbly encourage you to repent and to resolve to open your Bible each and every day to meet with the Lord Jesus. For others of us, maybe we do have this discipline, but for all of us, there'll be ways in which we can grow it. Maybe it's a little bit irregular. You're reading your Bible, but perhaps only two or three times a week. And perhaps you can identify some point in your day, some slot, that it's easier to read the Bible so that you can do it a little bit more regularly each and every day at the same time. And if you miss that slot, say in the morning, to try and grab a few minutes later on. For some, maybe it's absent. For some, it's a bit irregular. For others, it could be slightly unplanned. One day you open the Bible here. Another day you find yourself opening the Bible there. And it's all good, but it feels a little bit ad hoc. Well, there are wonderful Bible reading programs, physical notes, e-notes, and those can be so helpful so that we know what to read tomorrow, today, when I open the Bible, so that we are helped in our understanding of those verses and applications, so we know how to pray about those. There's so many different things that you could follow, so many different plans. That would be a great thing to do, a great way to start January the 1st, 2022. But for others of us, maybe we are reading the Bible, but from time to time, it feels a little bit dry, almost wooden, mechanical. Well, can I encourage us all to persevere? Again, it's a bit like taking our medicine. Even if our medicine doesn't make us feel wonderful immediately, we know that it's good for us. And the same with reading the Bible. The Puritans used to have that saying, "Pray until you pray." And as we come before the Lord, and sometimes we don't know how to pray or what to pray, as we persevere and draw near to him, so often he draws near to us. We need to keep on with this key foundational spiritual discipline. But this morning in Psalm 1, we've been reminded that we are pilgrims on a journey. We're headed towards a destination to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And this journey, our direction is very much set by who we're listening to. In 2022, let's be people who resolve to listen to Jesus each and every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your voice leads us in the right way, that we might live the blessed life, life with fullness of spiritual fruit now, life with abundance of many blessings in the future. Forgive us for those times when we've been slow to listen and when we've been sucked into the narratives of the world around us. Help us, we pray, to long to draw near to you. Give us a sense of that privilege and a desire to meditate and to linger on your words, that we might live the truly blessed life and love and glorify you more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.